Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone, and I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are in our last week of our At the Movie series. Throughout this series, what we do is we're taking popular movies and we're pulling biblical truths out of them and the teachings that God is trying to show us. And so the first week, we went over Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. The second week, we went over Iron Man. And then last week, we went over the original Karate Kid from the 80s. So this week, we're going to be doing one of my favorite animated films. It comes from the movie The Incredibles. And so the movie was released in 2004 by Pixar. If you've not seen this movie, it really is a wonderful movie that has something for everyone. People say to me, well, I'm not really, you know, cartoons are for children. They have definite nods for adults and things and understanding that only we would get, not the kids. And so it really is an awesome thing to check out. But in this world, there are superpowers that exist. But as the superheroes are saving people, things happen. Things get destroyed. So buildings are toppling over. People are getting hurt. And the average person in this universe is saying, I am sick of it. I'm sick of these superheroes going and destroying our houses and hurting us, trying to save us. And so people are saying, we don't want to be saved. And so what do? They ban superheroes. They don't want the help from these irresponsible heroes and saying, you know what? I don't want you around. We'll just see what happens. But this doesn't sit well with our main character, one of the superheroes named Mr. Incredible, hence the name, The Incredibles. And so Mr. Incredible wants to help people no matter what. So by day, he works as an insurance agent, and he hates that job. And if you meet his boss, he is the worst. But at night, he secretly goes out with one of his superhero friends, and they fight crime illegally because they're not allowed to do that. And so Mr. Incredible, he also married another superhero named Elastigirl, but since they're no longer heroes, they have their own names, and I'm pretty sure this isn't their actual names, but you have Bob, who's Mr. Incredible, and Helen, who is Elastigirl. And I said in the first service, you know, oh, those are very generic names. And then I was like, wait, if your name's Bob or Helen, they're great names. They're wonderful. So I love it. It's a wonderful name. But Elastigirl and Mr. Incredible, what they do is they have three children. They build this life together. Their oldest is named Violet. Then their next son is Dash. And then last, they have a baby named Jack-Jack. And so they are a family of superpowers. Mr. Incredible is super strong, almost invulnerable to everything. He is the toughest of the superheroes. Then you have Elastigirl, who's his wife. She can stretch and turn herself into all these different shapes and objects. Violet is able to go invisible and make force fields. And then Dash can run really, really fast. I was like, that's like right on the nose, you know, Dash, really? Okay, whatever. Then you have the last one, which is Jack-Jack. And Jack-Jack is just a normal baby with no powers. And so if you've seen the movie, okay. But throughout the whole movie, the whole family's going, we all have these powers, we all have these gifts and all these things that we're not allowed to use, and then you just have, it's just Jack-Jack. It's just the baby. Nothing special, nothing super. There's nothing about Jack-Jack at all that we really need to worry about in any way, shape, or form. And so since Mr. Incredible wants to help people so badly, he gets this invite to stop a giant robot that has been terrorizing all kinds of stuff. And Mr. Incredible, he jumps at the chance. He's like, yes, time to do superhero stuff again. But the problem is he's lying to his wife. He's lying to his kids. He has this secret life that nobody knows about, and it's not good. But what happens, as always, the family, they find out because you can't lie forever. And so they come to help Mr. Incredible. And we get these really cool fight scenes where each hero has a role to play. And we get to see them use their powers to help in different ways and work together. So at one point, you see Elastigirl turns her whole body into like this boat. And Dash, who runs really fast, he kicks his legs really fast. And he's the propeller and they're flying across the water. And then another point, you see Violet makes a force field bubble. It's like just circle and it's around her and Dash, and Dash starts to run really fast, and it's like a pinball flying everywhere, and you're sitting there going, man, this is so cool that they're able to work together, and they have a role to play in things that they have to do, and so you just have the four of them, and then Jack-Jack the baby is just at home with the babysitter, because Jack-Jack's just a person. There's nothing special about him. So you get all these cool fight sequences, and they're working together, and they defeat the robot, and they lose track of the real bad guy, who's named Syndrome. And so as the Incredibles are heading home after a job well done, they get a phone call from the babysitter. And so this is what you're going to see, is that they're on the phone with the babysitter as they're finishing up this whole fight scene that they had. So Jack-Jack, throughout this whole movie, he's been said over and over again, he has no powers. Violet even says, Jack-Jack is so lucky that he can just fly under the radar. He doesn't actually need to do anything because he has nothing special about him. He has no stress of having to fight evil because he has no powers to help. And yeah, of course, Jack-Jack's a baby, so you know, you don't want your baby to come and fight fights. But obviously, he's not just a regular kid. Not the way they thought. And actually, if you really want to go into this and you go further down this line, they've actually made quite a few things to show what Jack-Jack can do. And so they have this animated short that's all about what happened with the babysitter. And he has a lot of powers. He's catching on fire. He's disappearing. He's doing all kinds of stuff that is really awesome and crazy. But what you can see is he has this untapped ability. It's not that he didn't have it all along. It was just unrecognized. And this is the struggle of the Christian today. All who know Jesus, all who have accepted him and are baptized in following him, you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God living inside of you. And with that, God gives each of us what is called spiritual gifts or spiritual talents. But it's a very common struggle for us to ask this question of, okay, well, what talent do I have? What good can I do? Because I feel like I don't have any gifts from the Holy Spirit. They say, you know, I have these everyday mundane gifts. I'm a great cook. And I want to let you know, that's a wonderful thing, and you can use that to serve God, okay? Because someone came up to me and said, so wait, my cooking isn't from God? And I'm like, sure, it's great. It's wonderful. You do it amazing, that's fine. And then I said, you know what? Some people have told me I'm an amazing napper. And I'm like, okay, you know what? If that's what you do well, that's awesome. But there are these gifts that God has given us, and we have to understand what they are and what we can do with them. And so we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So we have to start off with what this is saying right at the beginning. It starts off with, there are many different gifts that God gives us, but we are to remember one thing and one thing alone, that we all have the same one true God. We all have the same Holy Spirit who is God living in us. It's not that one of us just has a stronger part of God, or we have a better Holy Spirit or a better gift than anyone else. We need to make sure we understand it's one God that's giving out all the Spirit things that we need to have to go out and change the world. They're all from Him and Him alone, and He is all powerful, He is all knowing, and He knows what is best. And so the same thing is reiterated in verse 5. There are also different kinds of service, meaning that we do not all serve in the same ways. One person is called to bring the gospel to a remote village in Africa, and then another person is called to work behind the scenes of a small church in North Dakota, helping in some small way. And the truth is, we are all called to serve, and yes, it looks different per person. But it's not that one is better than the other. The one that's out there in Africa is not doing more than the one in the small church in North Dakota. You have to understand the calling that we have is wherever you're at and whatever God is calling you to do. We need to know it's all so important. It all matters. And then you get to verse 6, and it's saying again that there's different work. But all of us are serving, and we're serving people, and God is working through you and in you. But then we get to verse 7 through 11, and verse 7 starts off with, yeah, we get some of the gifts from the Holy Spirit that we can have, and it says that a gift you have from the Holy Spirit has one purpose. You need to know this. Your gift is not for you to go around and say, look, I'm amazing, okay? Your gift is for you to serve the common good. Meaning that these ways that you serve, these gifts that you have, they're not just a blessing for you. Yes, you're going to have blessings when you use them, and you're going to feel that God is using you, and you can feel Him in you and working through you. But more than that, you're a blessing for others. You're to go out there and actually give those gifts to the world, to do good for God in this world. And then we see the first one that's listed in this message. It says the message of wisdom. And so another one that says the wisdom of knowledge. And so you have these two different pieces here. And we have to understand what this is saying, because when we're saying the gift of the message of wisdom, that's confusing. We're not sure what is being said here. But what actually is being said here is someone who is great at preaching. You can take the Word of God here, the biblical truths that we read right here in the Bible, and you're, as a person that has the gift of wisdom, what we're having here is you can understand how to apply it. You can take the truth and say, I understand how to use this for me, and then you're also saying, I know how to use this to show you how to apply it to your life. That's what preaching looks like. And then you have the Word of knowledge, which is the other side, which is teaching. Now, some people say to me, isn't teaching and preaching the same thing? I'm going to tell you straight up, no, it's really not. Now, for me, when I try to teach things, I always lean towards the preaching. Like, I get up, I get excited, I'm like, this is how you apply it and what you do with it. And they're like, this is a class. And I'm like, yes, yes, information. My bad. But then we have the person who runs the deep dive, John and Jen, on Tuesday nights. They are teachers through and through. There's so much information that they can give you to point to this dot here and this dot and how they connect, and it all works together. And you're going, wow, I'm understanding the Word of God on a different level. But the application's not quite there, because that's what the preaching is for. They are two separate gifts. But the problem we have is when we look at preaching and teaching in a church, we think those are the best gifts. They're the ones that matter most. And it's because I'm up here on a stage and everybody right now is listening. It's the same thing with the teaching. The teacher sits down and they start talking about all the things that you can learn in here, and we're just soaking up the knowledge. And yes, they are very important gifts to have, but they are not more important than any of the other ones. Each of us have a role to play. And that's why we get some of the different ones here. So as we get the one of faith, the gift of faith, and you go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Don't I have to have faith? Yes, we all have to have faith, okay? That's not what's being said here. We all have a belief in a God whom we cannot feel with any of our earthly senses. But this is talking about an unwavering faith that to your core, you cannot be shaken no matter what happens or comes your way. And so on the extreme end of things, if you're looking at what does it look like to have somebody with the gift of faith, think of a martyr. One that stood up for God to the bitter end, through the torture, through the beatings, through the death. They said, you're never going to change my faith in God. I will follow Him through and through. But obviously, a lot of us are going, I don't really want to die for my faith. Is there another way I can show my spiritual gift of faith? And yeah, there's many ways. I think of the rich young ruler that we read about here in the Bible. And so he came to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says to him, I want you to just give away your possessions and put me first. And I'm going to tell you right now, for most of us, if God came to us and said, I want you to sell everything you own, we're going to question and go, are you sure? I like that thing, or I need that thing, or what am I going to do? But someone that's saying, yeah, I'm ready to step out in faith, when God says, I want you to sell all your possessions and I want you to give them to the poor, they're going to go, done, I'm in, let's do it. You may have God say to you, I need you to move to a new city. And you go, done, I'm in. That's a big change. God may be saying, I want you to change your vocation. I want you to have a different job. And you're going, done, okay, I'll do it. All of that is a gift of faith. You're willing to say, no matter what God is asking me to do, I'm all in, because I know that He is better than anything else that I can do here. But then we get the more fantastical gifts, the ones that we would look at and go, wow, this is amazing. And it says, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. And so miraculous powers would be things like healing, okay? Anything that would straight up be a miracle that is done, that is a miraculous power. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever seen a healing, you're going to go, wow, that was amazing. And I don't mean like smacked across the face. Look, he can walk now, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But true healing that has happened, yeah, you're going to go, that's God. That's a miracle. Then with prophecies, it's when we're being told by God what to say of what is to come. And so we read about many prophets throughout the Bible, like Elijah from the Old Testament, John the Baptist from the New Testament, and they are told by God to go out and do something, to go and spread a message, to spread the word. Usually it's not something great when you're reading through here. It's usually God's mad, and a lot of people don't want to hear that. And so to get the prophecy is one that I'm usually like, don't give me that. That'd be great. I don't want people beating me up. But it's one of those things where we look at that, and when someone says, God gave me a message of what is to come, and it comes true, you sit there and go, whew, that was amazing. You would definitely have God talking to you. And then we get the next one. It says, the speaking in tongues. It's the ability to speak in languages that you don't know. So it's not like, yeah, I'm in Spanish, you know, too, but I could speak it fluently. No, we're talking, you have no clue what the language is, how to speak it, and you just comes out of your mouth. That's God working through you. And we're told that we need to have interpreters there, otherwise you're just a resounding gong and talking to nothing. But also that says one of the spirit gifts is going to be the interpreter of tongues. It's knowing what someone is saying, even though you don't speak that language either. And so if we're to be present for any of these that are happening here, we're going to sit back and go, whoa, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are cool. They're exciting, maybe a little scary. But they're still awesome all the same. And these are all amazing. They're all wonderful things. But then it leaves us sitting here going, I don't do any of that. Like, I never healed anyone. I don't have any prophecies. I'm not a good preacher or teacher. And you sit back and you go, well, I guess I'm just the jack-jack over there. I have no powers or gifts at all. But I want you to know that this is not a full list in any way, shape, or form of the things that we get from the Holy Spirit. And so people have debated about what they consider a spiritual gift. Some say that only these seven are the spiritual gifts, and I argue against that completely. And I also even look at Galatians 5, and so we look at the fruits of the Spirit. You got joy, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance, all those things. I'm going to tell you right now, those don't come easy to you. That's God coming through you. But then we have another list from Paul in Romans. And this is the one I really want to look at because this is going to challenge you more than this first list. So let's turn to Romans 12, 3 through 8. Romans 12, 3 through 8. So if you thought you got off easy with the first one going, hey, that's not me, I don't have to worry about it, I'm sorry. So Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So we start off again saying we're all serving the one God, the same God. We've all been given gifts by the one true God. And when we realize that we have these gifts, we need to understand that not some of them are better than others. And that's why he says, be humble. Okay, so some of you have these fantastical gifts that everybody sees with the healing and the prophecy and the teaching and the preaching, and everybody goes, wow, look at that, God's using them. And he says, for all of you that have those things, bring it down a notch. Realize that God's given you these things. It's not your power, you're not better than them. God doesn't love you more than this person. That's not how this works. And that's why he's telling them, I want you to understand it's like a body, one body. Verse 4. It says, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. That's the body of Christ. That's the church, but also your human body. And so if you were to go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and keep reading on what we just read before, and you read verses 12 through 31, it talks all about it in much detail. And so I would encourage you, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31, go through that and read that so you can have a deeper understanding. But I'm going to go over just a little bit what this looks like. What it's saying here is that the body has many different body parts and they all have a role and function. We wouldn't say, well, you know what? I don't actually need my eyes and I'm never going to use them. Why? Because I have a mouth. And that's more important. I use this more. So I don't really need those anymore. Or we don't say, you know what? I don't need my hands because I already have feet, so I'm just going to use my feet for everything. I'm going to tell you, if you're a carpenter and you have working hands and you're trying to build everything with your feet, it's not going to go well, okay? You're going to have the wonkiest house ever, all right? We can't say those things, and it's just like in the body of Christ. Some of us are the feet, some of us are the hands, some of us are the eyes and the mouth, and we all have a specific function to play in the body of Christ. They are all important. And then we read this and we get this list again. And it starts off with one that we talked about, which is prophecy. But then we get something a little different. It says the gift of serving. And then you get teaching again. Then you get a gift of encouragement. You get the gift of giving, the gift of leading, and the gift of mercy. And you're sitting to yourself going, all right, well, that's a little different than what I thought, because normally we think of the outward ones, but these are a lot more inward and things that are dealing with us taking some action that not everyone's going to see. But you have to know that these gifts are just as important. These are just as powerful. Have you ever met anyone that has the gift of serving? Because many people, we can serve. We're called to serve. It's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. All of us should serve in some way, shape, or form. But the gift of serving is something that is just in this person. And so I know personally, I serve a lot, but man, I can do it begrudgingly. I can be like, I'm kind of tired. I don't really want to. I've got stuff to do. And you're saying to yourself, well, I only have this little bit of time that's just for me, and so we're going to skip serving this time. But someone who has the gift of serving, it's something that burns inside of them. They never question, you know, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to serve? No, they're the first one to step up. And so I want to point out somebody right here at our church that does that. And so our youth leader that's right here has the gift of serving, and that's Ryan. If you have not met Ryan, he's back in the toddler room today. Please come and talk to him. Huge guy, tall, and his gift is serving. And somebody would say, yeah, it's awesome. He helps and organize Sunday mornings and the volunteers for all the kids. He runs the youth group and everything that goes on with that. But I want you to know that's not where it stops. It's not even close to where his serving stops. He has such a servant's heart. He also plays the bass. He's led worship here. He helps with any projects that are in the building. If there's a work day here, Ryan will be here. He visits the sick. If someone were to ask me, who is someone that loves to serve, I'm going to flat out say, it's Ryan. You know, people have that saying, you know, they'll give you the shirt off their back. I've literally seen Ryan actually say to somebody, oh my goodness, I think you need a new shirt. And he'll try to take his shirt off and give it to that person. And it's because he just has that servant heart. It just flows through him. And then we have this one of encouragement. Again, we should all be encouraging as people. That is something we should be doing. But this is something that does not come naturally to me. I am actually working on this right now. God is working on it in me, because when I think something positive about someone, I think it's weird to just say it, okay? I don't know why that is a struggle for me, but I'm like, oh, that guy's shoes are cool. And my wife will say to me, tell them. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's weird. Like, what are you talking about? And God has put it on my heart, tell them. And so that's what I've been doing lately, is when I see something or recognize something, I want to give this encouragement to them. But I have to muster up the courage to go out and say it. And it can be a struggle. But I know someone right here, that is who they are. The gift of encouragement flows through them. And so our leader of the welcome team, Carla, that's sitting right over there hiding her face. I'm going to tell you that no matter what she's going through, no matter what someone else is going through, she is there to lift you up, to encourage you, to push you towards God in all situations. And if you have ever been encouraged by Carla, I'm going to tell you, you'll get this feeling inside of you where you'll go, wow, she means it. Like, this is real. This is no joke. She's not saying it going, yeah, but I think you're awesome, and then just moving on. No, you can feel that she's truly encouraging you, and you leave there going, holy cow, something just happened. And then we get this gift of giving. And it says, for those that give, give generously. Now on this one, no names, okay? It kind of defeats the whole purpose of giving generously, because you're supposed to do it without anyone knowing. And I'm going to tell you, there are so many that give here so generously, and you'll never know who they are. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's because they have been given so much, and they're saying, guess what? God has given me so much, I need to give it back. And they give generously. They give generously to the church. They give to people. They give it out to anyone that they see in need. And I'm going to tell you, it's something you'd be like, really? There are people out there doing that? Yes. There are people that say, money is my ministry. Money is something that is God's and God's alone. And I'm going to go out there and tell everybody about how God is in control of that as well. Because when we don't want to mix money and God for some reason. And when it says here, you can have a gift of giving. And it is something that will bless so many people. All of us have these gifts. You have something inside of you. And the first thing you have to do is recognize it. And once you recognize it, use it. Don't hold it. And you may be thinking, literally, right now, that's not me. I'm the Jack-Jack of the group. I've got nothing. I have no gift. I have no power. But flat out, that's a lie. That is not the truth. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. I want you to know you have a spiritual gift. And it is time for you to look inside and recognize that gift. And then use that gift to serve God and to serve people. And if you're asking, well, how do I do this? Well, the number one thing you have to do is give yourself the opportunity to actually use this gift. Okay, so be in a situation where you can use one of these. Serving, teaching, preaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, strong faith, healing, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, gifts of prophecy. Everyone here has a role to play in the body of Christ. You have to find your gift. And so one thing I am sick of hearing, especially I'm pointing out the men, okay? I'm so sorry, not really. Here it comes. When it comes to it, a lot of guys say to me, teaching or preaching or showing compassion, kindness, encouragement, it's just not for me. I'm not good at it. And I always ask the same thing, especially when it comes to the teaching and preaching. Oh, you've done it? No. Oh, you've put yourself out there in a situation to do those things? Well, no. Well, then how do you know? You have to put yourself in situations to show mercy, to put yourself in situations to step out in faith. If you never step out in faith, how are you going to know whether or not it's one of your gifts? Because you're saying, you know what, I'm sitting in my comfortable hole all by myself and I'm going to do what I want and just live my life. That's not what God's called you to do. I want you to step out, figure out what gifts you have in you and use them. You are just as important as anyone else in this church. God wants to use you. Allow her.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.